go.
8, 7, 7, 7, 8, 8, 7, 7, 7, 8, 8, 7, 7, 7, 8, 8, 7, 7, 8, 8, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5,
contain adult-oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Yeah. Charlotte Radio. Charlotte Radio rocks. RadioCharlotte.com.
And we are finally back. Phantom Radio Podcast on RadioCharlotte.com. It's Ren. It's been a while. What was it, last March, I think it was? Maybe early April when we did one of these? I really miss talking to you guys. That was back when just starting to sink our teeth into this whole COVID-19 thing. A lot has happened since then, that is for sure. It's been a wild ride for everybody on the planet for the last 6 months or so. But here we are, October. Things are starting to open up a little bit more. People getting back out and doing their thing, kind of getting back to somewhat of a normal routine. So that's awesome. It's good to see you. Tonight, hanging out with a good friend of mine, Miss Mishaya Crute, Mishaya Crute Yoga. And we're going to be talking about meditation and mindfulness and COVID-19, of course, everything that's happened over the last 6 months. But, you know, it's hard to believe. It's been, oh, man, like almost a year. I think it was last October when you came in.
God.
Last. So, yeah, close to a year since you've been in here.
I mean, okay, so we need to void the last 6 months, though, I feel like.
Yeah.
Doesn't count. So, really, it's only been 6 months since I've seen you.
That's true.
Or at least that's how we'll spin it. That's how we'll spin it. But, yeah, it's been a minute. Good to be back. Thank you for having me again.
Well, we've been talking about this here for quite a few months, I guess, early spring. We're planning on getting in here. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. COVID has kind of become an excuse for everything. It's like, I'm going to go to the supermarket and buy groceries. I'm going to do some laundry. I'm going to take a long walk. But, maybe I shouldn't because of, COVID.
Yeah, exactly. But it also has just given us a reason to slow down to some extent. So that's cool, at least from my perspective. But yeah, I mean, not doing can be as cool as doing sometimes.
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, not doing. Me too.
Earth
signs for life.
I love, first of all, I love this condo here. I love this space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's home. It feels like home.
Yeah.
And I love working from home. I get so much more done.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to the office, you know, you're there
There's
from
there
this time
normally,
to this time, yeah. You leave it at the end of the day, you're a little bit drained.
Even by here, just the fluorescent lights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, I can get up, I'll work a good full day, I'll take, you know, a break here and there if I need to, kind of stretch the day out, but I end up working a little bit longer, but getting so much more done, you know, from home. So I like it, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I was looking back at my Instagram recently, and I had posted a photo probably 4 years ago at this point, but it was like a side-by-side comparison, and it was just me and my like corporate job get-up, my skirt, my pencil skirt and heels and like button-up and shit. Actually, there was also an engagement ring involved in that photo, but on the other side, I had just gotten to the gym, and and I was dressed in my my Lulus and sports bra, and I'd taken my ring off conveniently for the gym, obviously. But the caption was on the left is current uniform, and on the right was dream uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be damned if I didn't make that shit come true.
Right.
So yeah,
manifest
I walk around.
Your own reality.
I really did. Yeah, it was not an overnight process. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
Nope. Never is. That's why they call it a process.
Yeah, and you just have to kind of trust that you know what to do with yourself and stop being so concerned with other people in the world and kind of just turn inward. And that's kind of what COVID has been doing for people, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, being grounded as a kid. Think about what you've done.
I noticed a little bit of a shift. You know, at first people did not, you know, they were not happy with it. Go to your room. No, I don't want to. You know,
you can't tell me what to do.
You can't tell me what to
do. I'm not a kid.
But after a while, people started to to realize at that time mm-hmm. for themselves was very important, and they probably missed it greatly.
A lot of people, I think, did mm-hmm. definitely realize that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are still kind of kicking and screaming a little bit, at least in their own minds. I don't think that it's really socially acceptable to kick and scream so much anymore.
Not anymore.
It's like, yo, we're all in this together.
Right.
But several of my friends have mm-hmm. taken this time to develop their interests more, mm-hmm. which is really what all it takes as far as like getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you want, if you don't have a dream, if you can't like zero in on your dream job, whatever, start doing shit you like mm-hmm. and rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what COVID's kind of given people the opportunity to do,
yeah.
is explore what they want to do rather than mm-hmm. just staying on that hamster wheel and seeing the same view all the time. Because of course, if you're just doing the same thing all the time, then you're not going to be able to feel those really positive feelings that come mm-hmm. from experiencing something that you love. And I was that way for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like I was just kind of a chronic student. I would just keep learning things and being mm-hmm. like, okay, well, this is probably going to make me money. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to learn it.
Yeah.
And then I finally came to yoga, and it actually speaks to my soul mm-hmm. and allows me to speak to other people's souls. And it's just
brings you joy.
So authentic.
Brings others joy.
Yeah.
You know, when the COVID thing first started, I think we were all glued to the news and the internet and social media and everything, trying to find out every little detail about this whole thing. And it started to really have an effect on people. There were a lot of people mm-hmm. that were hurting in so many different ways for so many different reasons. And you could just feel that heaviness in the
right.
world. But it seems lighter now.
Yeah. And I honestly avoided
mm-hmm.
the news from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know how long this is going to last,
mm-hmm.
but luckily I already had my business going, was at home all the time mm-hmm. with the animals and ate at home and just worked consistently and diligently mm-hmm. and had a consistent wake and bedtime. Mm-hmm. And it really healed a lot of the blind spots that I had. Because I've been really running myself ragged, trying to bartend and teach as many yoga classes as I possibly could, just really overdoing it to some extent. So
you were all over the place
yeah.
for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But this allowed me to sort of zero in on what I really love mm-hmm. and exercise more of my healing talents than,
yeah.
you know, I can mix a good drink, but... Maybe a guided meditation is a little bit better contribution
right.
to humanity, you know?
Right.
So
well, we were working on a project before this here that you're doing, and people mm-hmm. will be able to get that on your website soon as well,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But I thought it was amazing. I love it. I'm going to keep a copy for myself. It was really good. People need to check out
Thank
your guided
you.
Meditations, and hopefully you'll be doing more of those as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And like we were talking... you know, kind of off the mic here earlier about, mm-hmm. you know, just COVID and being an empath and how it's real easy, especially during a time like this when the whole world is kind of struggling
mm-hmm.
to pick up on other people's energy.
Right.
And it can really bring you down and mm-hmm. make you feel that heaviness. And, you know, being like the shrink to friends and even
yeah.
to strangers, you mm-hmm. know, you hear a lot of what they're feeling, what they're going through, the struggles that they have mm-hmm. going on. And sometimes we tend to lower our energy a little bit to kind of match with theirs, to really feel what they're going through, to try and help them the best we can. But
right.
sometimes that can leave you at that vibration
mm-hmm.
and they go off happy because you've helped them and they've worked through some things
right.
and
yeah.
they've gotten some of your good energy and they're having fun and you're just like, ugh. So drained. I just want to take a nap.
Yeah. And that's the work you have to do as an empath
mm-hmm.
in order to not just be stuck to the couch,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's exhausting
mm-hmm.
if you get caught up in every single like energy wave that comes your way or every single problem that a friend has, if you really allow yourself to get enmeshed into it mm-hmm. and feel it as if it's your own problem, yes, of course, that gives you some good perspective, but it also really saturates your own energy with their sort of mm-hmm. shitty energy.
Yeah.
And really, if somebody comes to you, and most of the people that do come to me are dealing with stuff. They're mm-hmm. They're in a space where they can't deal with their own energy, and they're trying to just reach for anything mm-hmm. that will just make them feel better, or somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I know that since you're an opener, or you're an empath, an mm-hmm. opener, like, mm-hmm. Sorry, a little aside here, but if you're the type of person that people just come up to and start telling their problems mm-hmm. to, yeah. then you're probably an opener. You probably are pretty high on the empath scale. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just people kind of sense your openness. They yep. sense they that you're like a portal for mm-hmm. them to essentially send their problems through. Mm-hmm. They're like, it looks like, or they don't even know consciously.
Yeah.
And, but it's just that, sense of, solidness in another person, or sense of, community. And really that's the way you have to stay in order to not absorb their energy. Mm-hmm. You have to stay solid mm-hmm. and in your own space. And, dial into their frequency mm-hmm. and kind of have a bird's eye view of what they're dealing with, but do your best not to get enmeshed into right. what they're feeling and what they're truly experiencing on the inside while they're going through this, because it's okay to just get a peek at that and be like, okay, I get it, mm-hmm. back off and come back to your body, come back to your mind, your feelings. And that's the only way that you can even give them solid direction mm-hmm. to begin with.
Right.
It's not, we are all human. It's mm-hmm. they are them. I am me. Mm-hmm. I belong to them mm-hmm. and not them. Mm-hmm. It's very separate. And it's scary because that's not how we grow as a society. It's right. It's recognizing yourself and others. And mm-hmm. that's the whole idea of empathy mm-hmm. anyways, but seeing your own eyes looking back out of somebody else's, yeah. if you lose the ability to do that on either side of this, then you probably need to step back and reevaluate mm-hmm. how dogmatic you're being about your beliefs mm-hmm. and if, you know, it's all really worth it. Is right. it worth losing sight of the like spot of humanity in other people mm-hmm. to push your agenda? Like, is, because I know that some people think that the world is coming to an end, and if they don't tell everybody that the world is coming to an end, then no one will know, and we will all perish in flames or whatever. But like,
they're a little bit right. It's some things are coming to an end as we know it. We're just shifting into something new.
But you know what? Things have to burn.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Renew.
That's
you know.
Right.
And really, that's the whole. Bright side of this is we're going through this this pain, this uncomfortable mm-hmm. feeling, this shit that nobody wants to deal with
mm-hmm.
but hopefully if we can stay focused on the right things and not lose sight of the humanity
right.
in everyone mm-hmm. then we'll be better for it. It's mm-hmm. we're shedding our skin. It's yeah. And it's always a new day.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah,
like, yeah. If you're not learning something new or questioning some long-held belief mm-hmm. or making something new, like, I don't know. Every day I feel like it's just an opportunity to, like, find a little bit more of yourself.
Absolutely.
Especially in these times mm-hmm. when everything has slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's seasons for everything. This
True.
Is just our... Yeah. It's hibernation for the summer.
That's right.
So there's a line of demarcation
mm-hmm.
Where your energy fields meet, but there's a very clear sensation of what is you and what is them.
Mm-hmm.
And just being mindful of yep. not getting so entrenched in even if it's just watching the news, because I knew day one that I couldn't turn it on. I couldn't.
Tragedy porn.
Exactly. Like, I couldn't turn it on.
It's addictive for so many people.
But anytime anybody would come to me with, there's so much news, I can't take it, don't watch it. Because that's not staying abreast on, like, world issues. It's saturating yourself consistently into something that you can't really have effect on.
Yeah.
But to just sit on your couch and let these people pour these thoughts into your brain, it's not healthy.
No.
And
there's a reason why it makes you feel the way you do when you watch it.
Exactly.
You know, it's meant to bring that frequency and vibration down. It's meant to instill fear in your soul.
Really,
you know,
the fear is what keeps you coming back to see, like, well, what else do I need to be worried about? I don't want to miss what I need to be worried about, because if I miss what I need to worry about, then maybe something will hurt me. Yeah. Nothing's going to hurt you. You're going to be fine.
Exactly. we're all protected. We have more control over our lives than we realize.
Seriously.
Yeah. I got into it a little bit at first because I was more out of curiosity. So I was watching it, but I would go back and forth between the different news channels just to kind of see each narrative was, what they were trying to say, you
was
know.
Was it a little polarized?
It was crazy. But I moved away from that real quick. I mean, you saw through the bullshit instantly, right. You know, with
you
all.
You did.
Right. So it's best
not
to just
people,
take a step back from all of that mess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Find your truth. You know,
exactly. Feel your own feels. Yeah. Don't allow any of the news channels to tell you what's up, like, and you believe it definitively, because, like I said, that's how we get really immersed in this sort of polarized environment that we are existing in right now, because it's really getting weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I had to turn.
It's not over yet, by the way.
Exactly. And I had to turn them.
There's more to come. with the COVID thing, with Black Lives Matter, with everything that's been going on.
Exactly. And
it's a way to divide us.
Exactly. And engineer
conflict
to distract us from whatever the fuck else is going on.
Right.
It just, the division is becoming more and more clear between the us and them, which really takes away from the, we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the faults that you see in me are of yourself, and the faults that I see in you are of myself.
Exactly.
The more judgmental you are outwardly with the world, the more you point out what you like, what you don't like, you can be sure that inner monologue is reading the same.
Exactly.
So, if you're walking around and being like, that person's right, that person's wrong, that's good, that's bad, on the inside, every little move that you make, you're holding yourself to the same microscope, the same standard.
Yep.
And that's unnecessary and so
there's
distracting.
There's no reason to give your power and your energy to something negative like that.
Right,
you know, whether it's politics or whatever it's going on, or just the judgments with other people, you know, take your power back. Don't give it away.
And that's the thing, like, some people, and actually I think we're getting to the point where it's almost the majority of people are kind of stepping away from their power. It's kind of scary to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're being pushed that way also in a variety of ways from every angle to be the same, essentially, and not find, our true selves or live authentically.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's the other, like, rise of yoga and that push for authenticity. But by and large, especially in this country, it's everybody be the same. If you're different, you're scary.
Mm-hmm.
And the powers that be, I guess, are kind of cashing in on that division.
Yep.
So it's, say I was afraid, if I was afraid of anything.
You know, there's really no need to fear.
It really is.
Fear is kind of an illusion. It's ego based.
Right.
You know, you could be having a great day and working and doing your thing and paying your bills, and all of a sudden ego pops up and says, hey, you like camping? Because, you know, there's this thing out there called COVID. You could lose your job. you could not be able to pay your rent or your bills, and you'd be out on the street. You'd be camping every night. And then you start thinking, oh, shit, am I going to lose my job?
And really, that also is a judgment on your reality. It's judging your future as being worth fear. It's judging any situation to forecast something to be afraid of. So really coming out of judgment, out of such critical observation of yourself, others, your surroundings, kind of cutting that off and making it a practice to keep coming back and saying, okay, no, that's not where my attention should be. Just noting that, okay, I brought myself back. I brought myself back. And again, stay out of judgment. Don't judge yourself for slipping into judgment.
The more you give it attention, the more real it becomes.
Yeah, the more energy you give it. And I mean, and that's the same with your fears. It's just where your focus goes, that's where growth comes from.
Yes. Like,
what you focus on grows. If you focus on shit, shit grows.
Exactly.
So don't focus on shit. Focus on the good. And that's not even just like positive psychology. That's not like thinking like bad situations are good. It's recognizing that you're in an uncomfortable situation, or that something might be causing you to feel pain in any given moment. But knowing, and as sure as you can feel pain, it will get better.
It will.
On the other side of that, there, and that's the only way that the two can exist. Without good, there can't be bad. Without bad, there can't be good.
Yin and the yang. And you have to have, in this lifetime, on this earth, in this density, both have to exist equally. That doesn't mean the dark is a bad thing. You know, the light is a good thing, but they both have to exist. You know, you learn so much more from the dark, you know, and if
it makes you stronger.
Yeah. If you start to realize that, you start to lose the fear of what could happen. You start to kick the ego off your shoulders. So it's not, you know, taunting you saying, hey, be afraid of this, be afraid of this. Because the ego is always going to come back. It always comes back. You know, I mean, it's a natural part of our being. So it's going to be there. But you have more control over
it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I would argue that it is not actually a natural part of our being. I think that the ego is what is impressed upon us by this world, by the society. It is everything within our, that is kind of imprinted into our personality that actually isn't of our true nature. It's the distractions. It's the things that don't matter that our ego is concerned with, and hence an ego to deal with it. But your true nature, your soul, that is the inherent part of our being. Like that is what you come back to. That is that feeling in the pit of your stomach when something is good or bad, really. Like, I mean, you know, you get that rise of exhilaration when you know that something good is coming, and you also get that stomach drop, and you know exactly where that is. And most, at least like Eastern religions, they focus on like a little space below the navel. And that is essentially where your power exists. And it's just interesting that anatomically and emotionally, physically, we feel that sensation in that exact area of the body.
Good feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, experience is emotion. Emotion is experience. It's all flavors of our reality that are like helping us tune into our authenticity.
Our true self. Yes. You know, the ego doesn't play a part in that.
Right.
There is no fear at that level. But I do feel here on earth in this life, in this density, it is a natural thing. Now it's heightened because of the programming we have, the traumas we've dealt with in the past, the fears that keep coming around. You know, we all carry so much junk around with us, but it's all based on these, what we've seen, what we've been taught, the way we've been programmed, traumas that we've experienced. We're afraid that those things are going to happen again, or afraid that this may happen to us, or afraid. And that's part of the human experience right now where we are.
Right.
You know, at a higher frequency, higher, you know, dimension, it doesn't exist in the same way. But that's part of this human experience we have here right now. So it's going to be there. So you just got to thump them off your shoulder. Shut up, man. Go away. you know, positive
thoughts.
What
am I going to do? Yeah. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. The lights are going to be off. The dogs won't have any food. Or you come back to your essential nature and you essentially trust in everything beyond yourself.
Yes.
That the world is going to unfold exactly in the way it is supposed to. And the more you feel into that, and the more you trust into that, the more you find yourself in flow. You find yourself behaving authentically, and we all know what this feels like.
Yes,
it's I mean, if you play sports, it's that
flow state.
Just when your competence and challenge are equally matched, essentially.
You're not thinking, you're just doing.
Right.
And it comes natural. It's almost like you're channeling your higher self in a way.
And that's the thing, but what that requires is trust.
It does,
You got to trust your body that, at least in the sports analogy, you have to trust that your body knows what it's doing to some extent. Like you've done the work, or you even might have it naturally, whatever the case may be. But the more you trust into the things that you don't have conscious control over, your body, and just let it go, the more it will behave in the way it was meant to. And that's kind of the way the world works also. So like,
we have a lot more power than people realize. You know, when we first come into this world, into this life, you have that childhood innocence. You're happy. There's no judgment. There's
flexible,
no, I mean,
squishy.
It's such an amazing feeling at that level. Then you start going through, you know, some of the programming and, you know, the systems that are in place. And, you know, there's really nothing wrong with the system. It can be helpful until it becomes a limitation. And that's what it does to us in a lot of ways, is it starts to limit who we really are.
Right.
We start thinking and going more with the way society thinks we should be. And we start to kind of forget who we are and the abilities that we have. But those abilities never really go away. They're always within us. We just kind of forget who we are in a way. But they're always there. People are always asking, you know, what's the meaning of life? Why are we here? What's the purpose? You know, and we spend a lot of time looking outward for the answers or the guidance or direction, when really we should be looking inward. Inward is where we have all the power. Inward is where we have all the abilities to create the life that we want, to manifest the life that we want. Manifestation is a very real thing, you know, and we do it all the time, every day. Don't realize it, but we're constantly doing it. When they came out with The Secret, it kind of bothered me in a way, because the way they did it, they were marketing it to people that were kind of looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. They slapped an Oprah's Book Club sticker on it, sold it for $49.99, and people made millions on it.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's all about. I had a friend who bought it, and she was so excited. Oh, I got the secret. I'm going to start manifesting. I'm going to start doing all this and making my dreams come true. A couple months later, she called me so frustrated. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You know, I'm doing the vision boards, and I'm this and doing this and doing this, but nothing's working. I don't know what's going on. I said, well, how do you feel? She said, terrible. I said, that's why. You're not feeling it. You have to feel it.
Yeah.
That's where manifestation really comes from.
Exactly.
Is feeling it. When you feel it.
It's that visualization, if you want to come back to the athlete analogy, because that's a tool that athletes use. They're like, okay, I'm going to see myself making this basket. You know what? I'm going to make that basket. And you know what? Kind of works the same way in life.
Feel yourself in making that basket. How do you feel when you make that basket? When you make that last second shot to win the game, that joy that you feel, close your eyes and think about it and experience that.
Yeah. Be present to those emotions, those things that light you up. And, I mean, coming here today, we recorded a guided meditation before this podcast, and you know what? I didn't make any plans for it.
Yeah.
I knew generally what I wanted to talk about, and I know the framework of my meditations, and I talk people through meditations at least 7 times a week. give or take. So I've been doing this in increasing practice, both listening to guided meditations, taking myself through these meditations, mm-hmm. and doing it for my clients, or classes, whatever the case may be. And I trust myself to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. I trust that I have the knowledge, that I've gained it, that I've been consistently applying effort towards this goal. And I know that when I sit down in this chair, I'm going to come to my center. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that I have this inside me, mm-hmm. and it's going to come out of my mouth. And did it?
It did. Effortlessly.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we were talking the other day about getting together tonight to do this, and it was kind of a last minute thing. We're just, mm-hmm. hey, you know what? Let's just do it. We've been talking
about it
for 6 months. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it for a second. I said, you know, with this, I know you probably got a lot to prepare, some things that you want to sort out, mm-hmm. and some things you want to make sure you get. And mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, you're not wrong, but what's the point of taking time to plan something out and write something out when it comes from your heart and soul naturally anyway?
Exactly.
And just let it flow.
Yeah. And
that's true. Mm-hmm. It resonates a lot more with people. People feel you a lot more when it comes from the heart and soul.
Exactly.
When it's genuine.
If I'm reading from a piece of paper, especially if I'm public speaking,
mm-hmm.
like if I'm in front of like a mass of people and I'm trying to read off a piece of paper, that means I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
For one. Right. And two, you're going to hear that paper rattling.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, and, but it's that.
You can tell where your focus is. You
power,
can hear it.
Yeah. And really that's really what it is. Like you can't be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that whole like everybody naked thing,
mm-hmm.
that's not, I don't think that's a great idea, honestly. Like, come back to your center.
It's not. Really
come
not.
Back to your center.
It's really not.
Find your drishti on the back wall and say what you need to say from your soul. And don't talk about things that you don't care about in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. And there's a difference between thinking and knowing. You know, when we think about something, mm-hmm. It can bring doubt or distraction.
Right.
You know, you're not truly in that moment connecting with people. But
mm-hmm.
when you know something, there isn't any doubt.
The more you allow yourself to mm-hmm. exist in that knowing without being like, well, what if I'm wrong? Because I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
It's that ego.
But wait, you are massively wise.
Yes.
Your body is infinitely intelligent.
Yes.
Listen to it.
Exactly.
And
it's always talking.
Allow yourself to be. Mm-hmm. Like even speaking, yes, that is an action that's doing, but it's also sharing, it's communing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a central part of our nature. So putting way too much thought into what you're going to say really kind of takes away from mm-hmm. the soul of your message.
Mm-hmm. Comes so natural.
Right.
And it's really the best way to do it.
And of course, some people put their foot in their mouth.
They do. But that makes it funny. You know, those are the funny things. You just got to go with those moments and just
and that's the thing, yeah. I actually recorded an Instagram story, and I always do this with my mm-hmm. stories, because even if I mess it up, and if you could see me, I'd be using air quotes. But even if I mess it up, that's what I was supposed to say, I guess.
Exactly.
So I'm talking about my class, which the type of yoga that I teach is Hatha, pronounced Hatha, but spelled H-A-T-H-A. And you know what? For the majority of my life, mm-hmm. I said it Hatha.
Right. As so, most people would.
Exactly.
That's the way it looks.
How a lot of people still say it. And you know what? There's chakras, and then there's also the right way to say it, which is chakra.
Would you learn that in Chicago?
And you know what? I messed
with. What is it? Shakira? Is that it?
Exactly.
Can I open my Shakiras?
So I have to say both of these things to talk about my class.
Right.
And I just missed the mark every single time. But you know what? I rolled with it. It was hilarious. People found it funny.
It's just a name.
Yeah.
The thing, what it is, it remains the same. That doesn't change.
Right. So like how much more real am I if I just show up with pronouncing the words that are really like essential to my profession? and doing it wrong and just being like, okay, this is me.
Some of those things are the best things. You can kind of look back and laugh at the experience, you know, after the fact.
Exactly.
Some people say, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. What was I thinking? I'm so stupid. You know, because they're embarrassed. They feel like someone is going to judge them for it. Hey, remember that time you said hatha? But it's not about that. Live your life. Do your thing. Be you.
Yeah.
Above all else. You know, because the journey's yours, not anybody else's. And I've had people ask me before, you know, I feel like I'm judgmental. I don't want to be judgmental towards people. And it usually stems from, you know, something within themselves, obviously, that they're, it's a reflection of kind of the way they feel about themselves. But, and I've seen and heard people say, oh man, look at her shirt, or look at his hair, or look at that car, or, you know, they're just judging. And to get around that, you can retrain your brain. When you see somebody, automatically think of something you like about them. Whether at the moment you do or don't, I like their shirt, I like their car, I like their togetherness, I like that bike, I like that skateboard, whatever it may be, just think it, say it, do it, feel it, whatever you have to do. It will retrain your brain to automatically start thinking more positive. Next thing you know, those thoughts are coming naturally. Oh man, I like her hair. Oh man, she's got a nice ass. So, oh man, you know what I'm saying? It comes naturally. It helps you think more positive automatically.
Right.
Puts you in a more positive place.
Exactly. Before you know it, you're being less judgmental with
yourself.
Exactly. You're moving through the world with more ease.
Mm-hmm.
You probably will just have that negativity just like trip out of your surroundings, mm-hmm. basically. Like, it's just a clarity that comes with moving your focus. And it's like, it's not that like make everything positive, like spin mm-hmm. it all, but it is.
It becomes muscle memory after a while.
Exactly.
You just automatically think something positive. A lot of people during the whole the whole COVID experience have become more negative, whether it's being stuck at home or feeling controlled or watching the news or the mm-hmm. politics or whatever it is. You know, they're just feeling more negative. And even if they're not normally a negative person, people are experiencing that kind of thing. It's coming out more and more. So those little things can definitely help.
Like I said, I wasn't really watching news. Actually, I wasn't mm-hmm. watching. I don't have cable. Mm-hmm. I was watching Netflix, Hulu, Prime,
yep.
whatever.
No reason to pay for that mess.
But regardless of that, and regardless of the fact that I was basically hermiting and not really mm-hmm. being exposed to anybody else's energy,
mm-hmm.
it began to seep into my pores anyways, just because of the effect that it was having on all the other people
mm-hmm.
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear that energy for maybe a week, 2 weeks just started to descend on me.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully that was right when I was able to go back to bartending
mm-hmm.
and see
mm-hmm.
people and mm-hmm. be able to process some joy out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really, because I mean, if all you're seeing is negativity,
yeah.
it's a good idea to like pop some joy out there.
Absolutely.
Into the mix and
can reset
and
you.
It'll come back around.
Yeah, it will.
But I was getting a little negative and just pissy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I just
just irritable. I
yeah,
know what you
really
mean.
That's what it is. It's not even like anxious, it's just mm-hmm. like kind of mean.
Yeah. And it with the whole COVID experience, in a lot of ways, it was mm-hmm. a trauma to a lot of people.
Very much so.
And when you go through a trauma, you know, we're beings that are meant to be connected around each other, to mm-hmm. to be there, you know, with each other. We're all connected anyway, but that's kind of how we're built, is through connection.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through a trauma, it kind of rewires the brain for survival. And you kind of withdraw and you start thinking about survival and not as much connected with everybody else. And that can bring
even
on
unconsciously.
Exactly.
Especially unconsciously.
So
yeah.
it's no surprise that people were feeling more negative and feeling more depressed, you mm-hmm. know, and things like that.
Well, a lot of people have just stopped going outside too. Mm-hmm. Like that'll drain your serotonin real quick.
And we're meant to live, to evolve, to be together, to grow. And when you're mm-hmm. not allowed to do that, whether you're doing it to yourself or mm-hmm. unconsciously or on purpose or, you know, mm-hmm. being grounded or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
it starts to detach you from everybody else. It's really how you deal with the trauma is what the outcome's going to be. And we all need to continue to grow. When we don't keep growing and evolving and moving forward, that's when we start getting depressed. We get complacent.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people were.
Yeah. I've heard the purpose of life or as just the continuous act of solving problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, and really that's what it is you can't get bogged down in one problem. It's like, okay, there is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
There just is.
There always
Google
is.
It.
Yeah.
Google it. There's an app for it. Or reach out to your friend that knows more than you and be like, hey, what's your insight on this? If you both don't have any clue, then maybe just meditate on it for a little bit. But it's just, there is a solution to all the things.
The answer is within you.
There is a way to digest all of the emotions, all the spectrum of the emotions. But you actually have to kind of expose the surface area of those emotions to the variable acidity of your awareness. Just like you digest food, you have to expose all of the underbelly of the yucky stuff that makes you feel bad to the light of your own awareness. And you really have to pick through it all and see exactly what keeps making your demons, not really so much like squashing them all out. It's really analyzing what scripts you're running on, what demons keep coming back to play in your life, the patterns that you keep falling into. It's really delving into why you have become what you are if you've been living asleep. So the process of awakening is really just exposing everything in your experience to your awareness, which is what being present is. So it's not hiding from the negative stuff. You can turn off the news. That's okay. But it's not hiding from it. It's still meditating on your fears just as much as you meditate on your dreams.
That's right. You have to, sometimes you have to feel the depression you're going through.
All the times you have to feel the things that you are feeling. If you don't feel them, they just become a part of your body in the form of fascia and like wrap around your organs and your muscles and bones and constrict your life in a physical way to mirror the emotional state that you've manufactured within yourself.
these things will continue to, it'll be cyclical. It'll continue to happen.
It's just going
to
come back
over
around.
And over. Why does this always have to happen to me? Why does this all... For one thing, you just said, why does this always happen to me? So it's going to happen to you. You're putting it out there.
Right, exactly.
But until you start to really feel why you're feeling a certain way, what the situation is, what the problem is,
and
reaching to your side, and working through it, then you can finally release it, and you won't have to deal with those issues anymore.
Freaking sense of personal responsibility is kind of a dying trait.
It is. But, you know, I will say... when the first few months of COVID, I was kind of in a, I was thinking if this had been a test for humanity, we would have failed. That's how I was feeling at the time about it. We would have failed because everything was just ridiculous. People were acting fucking crazy, doing things that you just, you know, people normally wouldn't do. But I was finally able to kind of step back from it and kind of look at it in a different, from a different perspective. And it's just a process of getting all of these things out that we've been holding on to for a long time, dealing with the fears and insecurities that we have.
Yeah. It's all behavioral issues and humans or animals is a function of fear.
Yeah.
So any bullshit that you saw anybody doing or still seeing anybody doing, especially in regard to COVID, it's all fear based.
It is. Yeah.
And I mean, you can have empathy for that, but also don't do that shit.
Right. Right. Yeah. People are starting to, I think, those that have gone through it, you know, it was, what is it? The five stages of grief, you know, I could, you could see people going through those stages from the denial to the anger, to the depression, to the acceptance.
Exactly.
And I think once people hit the acceptance point, it's where they really started to look more within. And it, I've heard about meditation obviously for years throughout my whole life, but I never really thought much about it, never really practiced it, never really did it. And I'm the type of person that, you know, I believe in signs and symbols and synchronicities and serendipities. I don't go out looking for them. That'll drive you. Is that a sign? No. Is that a sign? No.
Right.
I won't do that.
You know,
that'll
drive
you
nuts.
You just go and live life.
Right.
If I see or hear something or read something more than three times in a day.
Right.
I'm like, okay, you grab my attention. I'm going to give you my attention. What are you trying to tell me?
Exactly.
And the thing that kept coming to me so much about 3 months ago was meditation.
Yeah.
I kept hearing it, kept seeing it, kept reading it. It was like a neon sign flashing in my face 24 hours a day. And I finally stopped and said, okay,
yeah,
what am I supposed to learn from this? What's the deal? So I'm like, okay, maybe I should check out meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get home that night and I find a little quiet spot and I sit down on the floor and I start, you know, putting my legs in that pretzel position, twisting myself up and start to breathe. Okay, that's right. You got to breathe. Okay. Okay, am I meditating yet? Is this working? Okay, now, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I talked to a couple of friends who were really into it, and I reached out to a couple of people that are very well-known and successful in for that,
mm-hmm.
and they recommended a couple of guided meditations for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's a good step. Let's try this. So it's like, you know, forget the whole pretzel thing on the floor. I'm just going to sit in my recliner over there just so I can relax. Because that's what I want to do is just relax and listen to the words. And, you know, I'm listening to this recording and listening to the woman speaking. And all of a sudden the ego comes back out. And it's like, hey, nut job over there with your shoes and your shirt and all the breathing. Don't let him get in your head. You never know. That could be hypnotizing you, making you cluck like a chicken or something. And over there. I'm like, come on, man, get out of here. I'm trying to do this thing over here. You know, so I wasn't really fully into it because I really didn't know what to expect.
Right.
So I tried it again the next day. The next night.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew what the guided meditation was about. You know, I already experienced it, so I know what to expect from it. And I just kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear about that meditative state, like the, you know, the flow state or connecting with your higher self. It's kind of the way I like to look at it. And I realized about halfway through that I hit that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like, there was no fear, there was no ego, there was no stress, there was no anxiety. You could feel that oneness. You could feel the present moment more so than I've ever felt before. And it was so interesting to me.
Yeah.
I was so curious. And when it was over, you know, I felt like I had a full body massage. I was so relaxed. It was like I'd taken a Valium or something. But it opened up a couple of things that really made me kind of think.
Yeah.
You know, when I reflected on it afterwards and started me on this journey, I think that I do it every day now.
Good.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing, you know, what you can get out of it. So I think everybody should try, you know, especially if you're feeling some kind of way, if you're feeling down, if you're not really feeling yourself, you know, try it out.
If I'm I am all zen and stuff right now, and for most of my life I am in this state generally.
Yeah.
Of course I do get caught up from time to time, and if I'm ever dealing with something that has me in tears or even a panic state, which I'm not immune to at all, I lay down, I cue up a meditation. I prefer yoga nidra, which is it's a very embodied meditation. So it really incorporates the physical body and body scanning, which can, if you've never experienced going through a legitimate body scan and feeling the after effects of that, definitely try it, because that's what really hooked me in. I mean, it's been a solid 4-year journey for me, at least probably 5 actually, that I've been meditating on a pretty regular basis, or at least having interest drawn into that space. It's just this hypnagogic experience where I almost feel boundaryless when I really get into that space, and it's almost like you're existing within all of the energy fields around you, through you, and it's it short circuits the parasympathetic nervous system. And allows you to come out of the any of those unconscious muscle holdings, because a lot of the like neck pain, back pain, leg pain, whatever everybody's experiencing, anybody's experiencing, comes from chronic holding patterns. or a way of standing, a way of moving your body, non-ergonomic work habits. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I bartend, mm-hmm. and I have to be mindful of the way I scoop ice, mm-hmm. because I am prone to using my entire shoulder and shoulder blade, mm-hmm. basically activating it from my pec muscle, which is not really the proper way to do
that.
And really takes the shoulder out of the shoulder carriage. Mm-hmm. And I was having a lot of problems until I realized that I was really harming mm-hmm. the structure of my body.
Right.
So even when I am bartending, I'm being mindful mm-hmm. of how I'm scooping ice and using my shoulder in the proper way. Mm-hmm. But those are the type of physical and, or that's a good physical example, mm-hmm. but even just mental tension, mm-hmm. your anxiety
yeah.
will have you holding your shoulders up towards your ears, mm-hmm. clenching mm-hmm. your jaw, unconscious holding in the abdomen can compromise digestion, but it's just these unconscious things that most of the time come from trauma.
Mm-hmm.
My right big toe, I've discovered I've lost the nail on that toe mm-hmm. three times.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's easier to do once you do it once, I feel like. But I remember that pain, and like there's like a scar across the top mm-hmm. of my toe from one of the instances. But I found that essentially I had been walking with kind of that shadow of fear
mm-hmm.
in my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as I'm walking towards big glass doors at the mall, mm-hmm. even though I might not consciously be thinking about it, in the back of my being, in the back of my conscious, there's a little piece of me that's like, hey, once upon a time,
right.
you walked through these doors and raked the door over your foot and right. pulled your big toenail back. And that shit hurt. I'm going to tense my foot just right. a little bit
yep.
every single time. And really, it's been like, it's become a part of my gait that I'm having to undo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that has thrown my entire right side of my body off, just that. And I know that that's the reason why.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, so any injury that you've had in your mm-hmm. life, and it can be something really kind of small like that, or mm-hmm. I mean, God forbid you've been in a horrific car mm-hmm. accident right. that you survived, but haven't really worked through the physical and mental sensations that you were exposed to during that trauma, and kind of see what the result has been, mm-hmm. either conscious or unconscious, then it is going to come out in your life in mm-hmm. one way or another.
Right. And I think things yeah. like, you know, those that have the corporate jobs that sit at a desk in front of a computer, which a lot of people do,
especially
these days,
if you hate it.
Especially if you hate it, you're gonna have those tensions within your body.
Yeah.
You know, you're slouching over a little more. Cell phones, tablets, you see people walking yeah. down the street with their neck craned down. People's
yeah, it's
posture
changing
gone.
The shape
it
of
it is, and we don't even
neck.
Realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those things as well.
Yeah. So try and hold your phone up out in front of you. Actually, mm-hmm. stay off your phone.
Stay off your phone.
Yeah. Stay off your phone. Stay off it.
Yeah,
turn your screen time
that's
alerts
else.
On. Stay
yeah.
off it. It's not good for your brain.
No.
And
not at all.
Near anything. Yeah, don't do it.
We're all becoming
or your
zombies.
Wallet.
So not the yeah. way you think we're becoming, but we
exactly
are.
Exactly.
But yeah, when I started meditating, I noticed after I guess about a week, mm-hmm. things just seemed so much more beautiful in mm-hmm. general. You go for a walk, it's like the colors are just so much more vibrant.
Right.
You can feel people more. Mm-hmm. The food tastes better. You
yeah.
just, it's like one of those, when you wake up to a sunshiny day and you're just in a really good mood and everything is mm-hmm. just perfect, that's the kind of
yeah.
way it feels. And to experience that consistently is an amazing thing.
Well, and it just, it's a practice of awakening mm-hmm. to presence.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're fully present, you're not allowing your unconscious bullshit to affect
yeah.
your life. You are in control. You are manning the ship, mm-hmm. as it were. When you're fully present, then your unconscious, those unconscious holding patterns,
yeah.
anything of that is unconsciously dragging your mm-hmm. attention away from the beauty of the world, meditating and coming out of that ego-driven state and coming back into your body and into your native self, that is what really cleanses those distractions from the body and mind.
Right.
And you're able to feel those after effects for increasingly longer as you continue to meditate. But it's just like, it's a practice. And I know that people throw that word around. It's a practice. It's a practice. But I mean, you practice your jump shot. You practice yoga. Okay. So there is a tournament at the end of basketball most of the time. There is not a tournament at the end of yoga.
Right.
Or meditation. But it's still a practice.
It is.
You're still constantly improving. You're still coming back and experiencing and cultivating those neurological pathways and really actually digging them out in different ways so that you are able to respond to your reality rather than react. Because if you're just living in reaction, which is the state in which most people exist, unfortunately, then you're missing out on all of that shiny, pretty, sunny day stuff.
It really is a thing. You sleep so much better too. You know, there were
no doubt.
Know, we've all had those nights where you lay in bed and you just toss and turn and you stare at the ceiling and you can't sleep. But through this practice and doing this more and more, I lay down, I close my eyes, I'm out.
Yeah.
And you have such amazing dreams too.
Right.
Sweet dreams all night long. But it really, it helps you to quiet your mind. You know, your mind is always going. And again, the more you do it, the more you'll be able to quiet your mind and just kind of be there in the present moment. And the present moment is where really all things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, there's
it's
the past, there's
the
future.
It's the only place where anything is possible. Exactly.
But I'm open to all of it.
Yeah, me too. And that's what a meditation practice is a process of opening. It's a process of remembering our essential nature. It's kind of like a place to come home to. It's sort of an integral part of the Yoga Nidra. It's your intention. And that word also kind of gets thrown around a lot. It's living intentionally.
Right.
What does that mean? Well, what do you live for? What makes you happy? And what is the...
What is your joy?
What is the reason why you want to meditate, the reason why you want to do yoga? There's a reason why you're showing up on your mat. There's a reason why you're sitting down in your chair. And in Yoga Nidra, it's called a sankalpa, which is roughly translated into a sacred vow. So this is a sort of affirmative, personal statement. It starts with I am, and you're deciding on something that you want to become, or your highest truth, the thing that you know at your bones to be a part of you. So that you are wise, you are happy, you're joyful, whatever the case may be. You formulate what you would like to see reflected in your reality.
Right.
You come to this intention, this sankalpa, and you behave and you meditate in a way that supports that intention. So when you're living intentionally, I actually thought about this education. Education, and that's where the problem is. Like, we need to pay our teachers more. We need to respect education more. We need to be more mindful of what we're allowing our kids to absorb.
What's
because
being taught.
It's changing the landscape of us as humanity, for sure. But then I thought, you know what? It actually didn't occur to me. I'm a teacher. I'm a yoga teacher.
That's right.
And you know what? I don't fucking get paid a lot. At least not yet. And see, that's the thing though, is like, if you're a teacher and you're caught up in your pay scale, then it's not going to work out. You're the world is not going to improve from your existence.
That's what you're giving your attention and energy to. Is that
the minds that you are shaping are not growing from your anxiety about your bank account.
Right.
So either don't be a teacher. If you absolutely need belongings and savings in your life, then go a different route. If you think that you're not going to be able to sustain yourself, your style of living, even though it's all bullshit, but if that's really where you're at, then don't be a teacher.
Right.
But if you are a teacher and you started being a teacher because you wanted to improve mm-hmm. young minds, mm-hmm. if you wanted to make lives better, you want to make the world better, mm-hmm. focus on that.
Yeah.
That's your drishti. That's your sankalpa. That's your intention. It's improving the world as a whole. Mm-hmm. So the daily shit doesn't get to you as much. The kids that misbehave, the really skimpy direct deposit, whatever the case may be, that's not what you're focused on.
Right.
It is improving the mental clarity and health of mm-hmm. our society as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can reformat that in whatever way speaks to you. But in general, I kind of had to think about what I had been saying to people. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's education, pay more. No. Right. Right. Hey, teachers, if you really want the world to change, mm-hmm. you got to change.
Yeah.
Shift your focus.
And there is enough for everybody out there. When you find exactly. something that's your true passion, your true joy, the money's going to come. Mm-hmm. The financial abundance is going to come.
Yeah. And you know what? Most people live outside of their means mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's just that incessant want for more.
You don't need that new iPhone. You just got the old iPhone 6 months ago.
Exactly. Like there's plenty of stuff we don't actually need. And if you focus on the necessities and what keeps you healthy and happy, I mean, plenty of people blow their paycheck on bar tabs too. Mm-hmm. And that's you know true. What? That's not I mean, hurting my other occupation right now. But and like I said, I just have much more healing habits right. or not right. habits, talents than filling up shot glasses.
Right.
But
it's an opportunity to connect with people and you really are.
You have enough.
If you make a difference with one person, one customer, mm-hmm. teach them something new, help them improve themselves just a little bit, or say one word that they take with them and resonate with.
Right.
That's all worth it.
I mean, I'm always giving people electrolytes.
Right.
reminding women not to apologize when they ask for an extra lime.
Right. I'm sorry. Why are you apologizing?
Yeah.
Don't ever apologize to me.
I have a question. I don't want to bother you, but do you have a trash can back there? Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a trash can back here. Don't apologize for anything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and don't explain yourself either.
You do you, girl.
Exactly.
Be confident. Be proud.
Yeah, or at least don't be scared.
Right. Yeah. There's no reason to be.
But I mean, that's a thing, though, is we get told.
Exactly.
Yeah. Be scared.
Yeah.
I traveled halfway around the world, mm-hmm. most of the way around the world. Mm-hmm. And really, my confidence was sourced from my idea that I knew that this wasn't the end of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was nothing out there that was going to hurt me.
Mm-mm.
And I just moved through the world like that.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, somebody looked at me at some point in the other and said, "That's not a good mark."
That's right.
So I've been really.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I mean, it makes sense both spiritually and mm-hmm. practically. Like, and I mean, fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't apologize. Piss somebody off for the sake of not lowering yourself every mm-hmm. single time that you feel like you're in need of something. Like, you can ask for things. You don't have to be completely selfless.
Yeah. We really can't get rid of all the crap we've been carrying around, whether it's fears or traumas from past experiences or a confidence issue, whatever it may be. Again, we carry that stuff around with us and it's so heavy, you know,
you digest it.
Though. Yeah. You think about when you got too much stuff in your closet or your garage or something, you know, you take the time to go through it and weed out all the stuff that you really don't need,
mm-hmm.
you really don't want. And what do? You recycle them. You give them to Goodwill.
Right.
And hopefully be able to bless somebody else that may need that.
Right.
You know, so to get rid of the things that no longer serve our purpose
mm-hmm.
is very important. And it's difficult for people to really understand how to do that. But through meditation, You know, that's one thing
meditation,
that you really can
do. Meditation, self-inventory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You start to deal with these past traumas and these fears and all this junk you're carrying around, and you learn to to let it go.
And really,
you feel so much lighter.
That's the power of actually digesting our emotions the same way that we digest our food. It's that alchemy, that transformation from one thing to something better. Your attention is the only thing that can transform those things.
Yeah.
You can't put them in a dark box and think that they're going to dissolve in the dark. It's not how it works. Light is what, and it doesn't even necessarily get rid of anything. Mm-hmm. It just repurposes it to make you a more virile human.
Energy can't be, it's energy. Energy can't be destroyed, but it can be transformed.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be a negative thing. It's very easy to do. Mm-hmm. So before we go, I know it's starting to get a little bit late here. For those out there that are listening to this that are feeling some kind of way with everything going on, what's a good way for them to get into meditation? What's something for them to try? What's a good first step instead of bending their legs like a pretzel and trying to breathe and wondering if they're doing it right?
Yeah.
Give them some direction.
So I mentioned Yoga Nidra, which is a really good gateway meditation practice. like I said, it's one of the oldest traditions in yoga meditation, but it's a very embodied meditation that you can do before you go to sleep. And literally play it, and it will help you go to sleep.
Now you will sleep so good.
There are plenty of these Yoga Nidra. Mm-hmm. It's Nidra, by the way, Yoga Nidra, and that Nidra means sleep in Sanskrit. So it's yogic sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's this sense of balance that we're trying to bring to our mind as we are with our body within yoga. So it takes you through progressive relaxation and body scanning, which allows you to move and evenly distribute your awareness and energy throughout the body. And then it also takes you through kind of an examination of dichotomies. So it's feeling polar opposites and coming to the dissolution of both in balance. So it's not feeling heavy or light. It's feeling both at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's not feeling large or small. Mm-hmm. It's feeling both. Mm-hmm. It's that union of force. Union through force. Union through force, which in this case, the force is your attention. The force is your practice of meditation or yoga. And so I find and have found when I even started practicing meditation that was one of the easier ways to calm myself, to come back to neutral and find that really beautiful sense of relaxation and presence. And I mean, you can do that in the middle of the day. And eventually it's meant to be a wakeful practice, but go to sleep. It's fine. If you need to sleep, sleep. Your body will do what it needs to do. Yeah. If it's ready for everything that you need to take in, then you might stay awake for the entire time. Mm-hmm. If it's not, you'll probably pass out. Mm-hmm. And your unconscious will do the work for you
because
you'll still be able to hear everything. Mm-hmm. But that is honestly my recommendation for beginner meditators. There's probably more verbal and airy practices that might be better for more cerebral people. I live more in my body. Mm-hmm. I feel more connected to earthy practices, but really just sitting back and contemplating the things that you fear or your dreams and how you would feel if they came true. That's meditation. Mm-hmm. the more you come into the practice, the more you'll want to come into the practice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that you end up craving.
Oh, absolutely.
So really, it's just like anything. It's just like anything else. Mm-hmm. Start before you're ready, mm-hmm. and keep going. And if it's meant for you, it'll stick.
Yeah.
And meditation's meant for everyone. So
it's helped me to live more through my heart and less through my head, which is more the real me anyway. So it's kind of like getting me back to who I really am. You know, it's really cool. So one of the main thing you do, your main passion is mm-hmm. of course teaching yoga.
Yeah.
So how can people listening here in Charlotte get a hold of you? Where can they go? Where can they take your classes? I noticed you got some things going on.
Yeah, for sure. I will be starting at Charlotte Athletic Club mm-hmm. at the beginning of October, which is tomorrow, so maybe next week, because yeah. it actually is not on the books yet. But as far as I know, I will be teaching there.
Nice.
And I do Tuesday nights mm-hmm. at, it's now 6 p.m. at the Music Yards in South End, mm-hmm. in between Max Speed Shop and Southbound. So that's a really cool little space to do some outdoor yoga. Mm-hmm. It's a small class. And obviously we are adhering to the present COVID guidelines.
Absolutely. Wait.
Yeah.
No, keep talking.
Okay. So I have that going on. I also am teaching early morning classes. And I do that at Graham Street Pub and Patio. It's actually on the rooftop.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'll be there tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And I have other booking options.
Wait,
as
far tomorrow
as,
at 6 a.m.?
Uh-huh.
Jeez, girl, look at the clock over there.
It's like, it's 9:30. I'll be okay. Oh, okay. I do need to go to sleep, but yes.
You did take a nap.
Yeah. And
how can people get tickets for some of these things?
So I do have my Instagram, mm-hmm. which is Mishaya Kroot Yoga, mm-hmm. Just straight up. And really, my name, if you just type it into the Google, mm-hmm. Mishiah, mm-hmm. you'll be hard-pressed to not find my website, right. even if you don't type the whole thing in, which is Mishaya Kroot, C-R-U-T-E, right. yoga.com. Yeah. Yeah. But that's also info@mishiahkrootyoga.com. Mm-hmm. That'll get you to my email inbox. MishiahKrootYoga.com, MishiahKrootYoga, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah. It's all just
all
my name.
Above.
Yeah. And well, cool. And I do private lessons also, mm-hmm. all the things. Mm-hmm. Email me.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have all the people in my classes.
Well, cool. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank
hanging
you.
Hanging out again. It's good to
us.
See you again after
the sleepy puppy.
A long time. Sleepy yeah. puppy. And you know, we did, we're not wearing masks, but you know, I want to make sure here that we're actually 6 feet apart. Are we 6 feet apart?
Let's see here.
You know, it's kind of dark in here. I can't really tell. Look at that. Exactly 6 feet to the dot on the dot.
I mean,
wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Very good.
Not that it matters anyway. I'm clean.
I think I am too. I'm pretty sure it's already.
People have been saying that for years. Yeah, I'm clean. I'm clean.
Yeah.
No, I actually went to the doctor to, you know, the yearly checkup thing. And he was like, hey, you want a COVID test? I'm like, dude, you got COVID tests? How you get COVID tests? Yeah, right. Man, hook me up with a COVID test.
Right.
Took this long ass Q-tip, this wooden thing, shoved it way up, halfway up to my, you know, through my brain.
Ooh.
To.
I don't like to put things up my nose like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very comfortable, but yeah, I'm good.
Cool.
I'm clean.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten tested a few times myself, mm-hmm. not in the past 2 weeks, but
right.
I think I've been in the public mm-hmm. like a lot.
Yeah.
So
if you take good care of yourself
and, you know, I just
and you're mindful yeah. about, you know, yourself, I mean, your immune system's going to take care of
yeah,
your body. It's going to,
exactly.
it's going to knock this stuff out.
And really if most physical ailments, dare I say all, mm. have some spiritual connection,
right.
at least
yeah.
from my point of view.
Yeah.
But
do the research, you'll see.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And talking about some meditation. It's super important for people to know about.
It is. It really is. And we'll do more of this soon.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good night.
You too.
See you, Bobby Puppy.
Say
baby
bye.
Dog.
Ow.
Oh, just woke her up. It's like, Ren, I'm trying to sleep, man. Leave me alone. All right, Mashiach Crew, MashiachCrewYoga.com. That's the Phantom Radio Podcast. Appreciate you listening. Good to be back, man. It's good to be back with you guys. I missed you a lot. So appreciate you listening. If you want to hear more, you can find the Phantom Radio Podcast anywhere that podcasts can be found. All around the world, man. We're everywhere. So check it out. Reach out to me, Ren, R-E-N-N, at RadioCharlotte.com. You guys have a good night. Definitely talk to you again real soon this time. Promise. Good night, Blue Eyes.
There's a force in the universe that makes things happen. All you have to do is get in touch with it.
Radio Charlotte.